Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome back to another episode of the Capes and Commentaries podcast, the show where we pick some of our favorite cartoons, do a commentary over an episode, and kind of talk about some of the other stuff, toys, movie news, what have you. I'm your co-host, Nathan Kennedy, here with Tyler Baker, and we do the thing that we do every week. We should have started this long time ago, but we get into talking because we don't really sit and have that face-to-face at all during the week.
Yeah,
catch up on the work week, and then my computer did something kind of weird, so fingers crossed that we're good for the remainder of this recording. But how's it going, man?
Doing just fine, man. Ready to dig deep in today's episode and chew the fat on some current events before we get down to it. But doing quite well. And yourself, man?
I doing all right, other than now I'm worried if my computer is going to be a ticking time bomb moving forward and things are going to be...
I mean, this is like watching like a really good version of, you know, Monday Night Raw. You don't know what's going to happen, man. Is it going to go through? It's all live here, people. You know?
Yeah, but this computer was kind of expensive. Anyway, what was the thing I was going to say before? Isn't it funny how we a couple weeks ago we did part one of an episode of Batman, and now we're just forgetting about part two for now, and we're doing something else. We've had so many things, like, we got to do that. We got to do G.I. Joe the movie, because mm-hmm. we've been talking about that for ages. Wasn't there something else?
Mask of Phantasm was
another one. Yeah. A lot on our plate. But anyway, I guess topic-wise, the things I wanted to talk about really quick, it has been confirmed Robert Pattinson is Batman. I'm all right with it. Let's see where it goes. Let's go a different route with villains, or if we're going to do it, like Riddler.
I keep hearing a mix of like Riddler, Penguin, and Catwoman thrown in there. So I mean, that's an awful lot, unless it's going to be like kind of a already established, and, you know, they're just, you know, scenes where he runs into them or deals with them briefly or something.
Well, the plan, as far as I know, is it's going to be Batman sort of in his 30s, where like he has it sort of figured out but not exactly, and I know it's going to sway more towards the detective side, and I'm all for this. I saw a video from What Culture that had their list of like these are the actors we would like to play these different members of the Rose Gallery.
I used to find them kind of respectable. Now I just feel like they're just a bunch of slubs who just throw shit together.
It depends on the list. And when it comes to their wrestling stuff, sometimes I'm kind of like, yeah. But that video was most of their choices that they made. They're like, you know what? Yeah, I could see all of these people as that. Now, I want to stress again, let's just take the Joker part of it and just stay away from that for a while. If we're going to make this a trilogy, which supposedly is the plan, let's maybe drop hints, but just don't have them in it. Shine the light on some other people for once.
Well, God knows there's been plenty of villains who've not gotten either a fair shake in their renditions on the silver screen, or they haven't been given any time at all.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, I think Riddler deserves to be revisited. The Penguin definitely deserves it. Catwoman, you know? Yeah, because we've gotten two forgettable renditions and one masterful one. You know, Bane needs to be redone, but I don't want to see Bane actually in this series of films. I really want to see the Riddler and Two-Face done, you know, again. Like, I love Aaron Eckhart's when it first came out. Now I'm like, God, it was such shit. So I would love to see, like, a really...
Right, y'all.
It was. God, all these people doing this film just whining and complaining about their lost loves. And like, God, man, it's just bitching
they,
and complaining.
They just want someone to be their girlfriend.
Yeah, it's all that's what the Nolan trilogy is about. You be my girlfriend. That's what it's about. So with this, I want to see, you know, the conflicted multiple, you know, dual personality Harvey Two-Face. I want to see the Riddler as a very cold and cocky, you know, intelligent villain. I thought it was intriguing to throw the Penguin in there as well. So I feel like there's so much more room for, like, hey, we can go this route. We can bring him in. We could do Black Mask. We could do Hugo Strange in like a small role. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff they could do. The Scarecrow, revisit the Scarecrow, like what we'll do in today's episode. God, I would want Jeffrey Combs to play the Scarecrow in a live action Batman film, dude.
I know he does convention circuits. I hope one day like the stars align and I can meet him just based off of this, based off of Reanimator, and especially based off of his take of the question in Justice yeah. League Unlimited. Like, there's something about his voice that is just, you know, most people are like, oh, Morgan Freeman. Like, Jeffrey Combs is kind of like the Morgan Freeman to me. Like, he could read anything. But
Jeff is someone you would want to, that you could read, and he would add an extra level of haunting to it.
Yeah.
You know, he ought to be doing, like, you know, scary stories to tell in the dark. Like, he had to be doing, like, you know, Book on Tape by Jeffrey Combs. You know?
Oh, yeah. They're doing a movie of that, aren't they?
I watched the first trailer. I was like, ugh. The second trailer actually looked not bad.
Okay.
But, you know, they got kids running. It's almost like a much more mature version of the Goosebumps movie. It's okay. Kind of one I kind of got a
well,
vibe
of. Well, it's kind of, well, when you think about it, the demographic the books are meant for anyway, I think that's like a solid spot to.
I would have just preferred a bit kind of like an anthology, you know, kind of like a Twilight Zone, the movie kind of thing, where it's just a series of stories that are not connected, but they're all told within the same universe.
Or you could find a way to connect them creatively, like how Trick or Treat did.
Yeah. But
anthologies are good when they're done well. When they're not, they're pretty terrible.
But it's worth checking out, you know, like the stories they make reference to, I'm like, you know, you've piqued my interest. So, but I'll wait till it gets a little bit closer.
When is that due to come out?
I have no. For some reason, I thought it was going straight to video. I thought, but
no, I can't. Well, I can't imagine it just going straight to video.
Well, that's what I thought too. But I was like, that can't be right. So it must have been some bullshit article. I don't know. There's so many like bad clickbait articles, like the slides that Robert Pattinson just decided he wants to see. You know. Two-Face yeah. in this, and it's some yeah. bullshit clickbait article, you know? Yeah. It's just, God. It's just,
there was one that someone sent me. It's like, Rage Against the Machine reunion. I click on it, and it's just Tom Morello, the guitarist, with, like, their old guitar tech and their old, like, touring manager. I'm like, no, that's not, like, there's no yeah. new record. They're not going out on the road. It's just he took an Instagram picture. Like, yeah, internet's shitty that way.
God. But yeah, I'd say that's worth checking out, But yeah, I'm intrigued by this new Batman news. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm fine with the casting of Robert. And I was glad when they keep saying, like, the term for the goings is noir. And I'm thinking, like, well, the first Batman was a noir film, you know, kind of a gothic noir almost. So if it's anything kind of like the animated series, where it has that kind of, you know, like a 1930s, 40s kind of gangster feel that the Tim Burton film had.
Maybe they're actually listening to us, man.
Maybe they're listening to just you and I. You know, Matt Reeves is like, ah, the hell with all these what culture mojos and all these other bullshit things. Those two guys don't get jack shit for views on YouTube. They have, you know, they may not be proper, but damn it, they know proper screenwriting, you know, or good storytelling, you know. But, you know, it would be nice to see something close to the animated series come to life on the big screen. At least take that kind of environment and that feel where the villains look like gangsters. You see Tommy guns, but you have futuristic technology thrown in there too. I mean, yeah. You don't question it. You just accept it.
And I would have totally been okay with Pattinson being Terry McGinnis and bringing back Michael Keaton to play an old Bruce Wayne.
Well, anything to get Michael Keaton back into the mix anyway. So,
yeah.
But, hell, I think it'd be great if they just asked Michael Keaton to play a part in it, like a pivotal role, like just bringing him back to the Batman universe in some form, like, you know, have him play, you know, why couldn't he play a villain? Why not?
Who would he be? What villain off the top of your head? Hugo Strange?
No.
Who would you cast as Hugo Strange?
Maybe I was thinking maybe Ben Kingsley, but I'd have to think about that a little bit more in depth, you know. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities. I would almost say maybe see Keaton play the Riddler, you know. Physically, he's not a big guy like the Riddler. And he has such a, you know, can play like, you know, an a villain, an aggressive villain. You think of that movie with Matthew Modine and Melanie Griffith. It was like made back in the early 90s. I forgot what it's called. He plays the villain in that.
I mean, but, I thought he was great in Spider-Man.
Yeah, he was. He was the only good thing in it.
Yeah, and, I mean, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, I came away from that movie. I'm like, his performance was really, to me, the only positive.
Yeah, and that's something I think everybody who's seen that, that's one thing everyone agrees on. But that's just a random thought, but it's not that you have to include, but I think it would just be cool to bring Michael to play a role in a Batman film as like a fun nod to like, hey, this is, you know, arguably, universally, I think, coming around to being associated as being like the definitive Batman that we've ever gotten. I think he's gotten to that point where if you like Christian Bale, that's fine. But I think universally, Michael Keaton is rising above, you know, generations now and being remembered as like, I'm sorry, people, but, you know, he is the definitive Batman we have gotten. And yet no one has come close.
Do you think there's anyone out there in existence that has George Clooney on the top of their list?
I'm sure some people.
There's got to be somebody.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, if Batman and Robin was the first film you ever saw, you're going to have a soft spot for it, you know, no matter what. But I think it would be hard to argue that from your perspective, if your opinion is he's your favorite from your own personal opinion, okay, that's fine. But to come up with like valid points as to why he's the best, you're not going to find anything in Batman and Robin other than the fact that that was your first Batman film and therefore you have nostalgia and appreciation for everything in that film. That's it. There's nothing.
I don't think that I would, even if that was my first one and I went back and watched Returns Forever 89, I would still be like, yeah, these movies are way better. I don't. Because that movie is so fucking terrible that I just don't see, like, nostalgia one thing, but for it to be nostalgia and still be like, yes, to me, this one, I don't know. I
had nostalgia for the hype when that came out the summer of 97. Like, I remember how excited I was to try and get the Taco Bell cups. I was looking for, you know, I had bought posters from Kmart, I had a Poison Ivy poster, and I bought, like, a full-size movie poster because I really wanted to believe that it was, you know, even after I saw it, I was like, maybe better when I see it on home video, because I really walked out of the theater like, oh my God, like not really wanting to admit it was as bad as it was.
Right.
And I still bought merchandise and so did my brother. And then when it came out on video, I rented it. I'm like, yeah, I can't talk myself into believing that this is anything good. So, but the hype around it, I'll never forget it. It was so exciting watching the trailer on WGN. They aired like the first big like trailer for it on WGN out of Chicago, and I taped it. Like they had like a commercial, like, hey, on Wednesday night 8:00 we're gonna be airing the first trailer for Batman and Robin. So I taped it and was rewatching over and over and over again. I was so excited for it, and Arnold played Mr. Freeze. Like it was just unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I thought this, and seeing the glimpse of Bane, like, It was. I'll have so much nostalgia for that, but for the film itself, no. And I find it very unwatchable, and not in a, oh God, it's the worst movie ever. Like, you know, there are worse things that have come along because, like, you're supposed to learn from the mistakes of these films, not continue to repeat them in some bullshit manner. So, I mean, you know, look at Ghost Rider, you know, I wouldn't knock anybody if they have an appreciation for that film for that reason. It's going to be hard to find another reason to be a fan of Batman and Robin, other than if you're just someone who just likes to poke fun at it and watch it, you know, and that's really about it, because it's not an action film. It's definitely more based in comedy and being silly. And, you know, as I said before, at least Joel Schumacher has apologized and admitted that he knew what he was doing.
Now, at least Clooney's apologized for it, too.
I don't know why Clooney, because, you know, he signed on to play the part, but he was directed to act a certain way.
Yeah, but you got to think, like, it's like you've done before. The actors are going to take the brunt of it, even if the movie's bad. Like, the director will, yes, but he's sort of, like, set aside, and it's like, no, it's this guy and her and him, too. He sucked.
Yeah, I know. I don't blame anybody except Warner Brothers, Mattel, and Schumacher has apologized for his, you know, that he went along with it and didn't argue with Mattel and Warner Brothers about, we got to make this thing even more family friendly. The toys, 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 toys. Silly dialogue all over the place.
You know? Yeah, and I feel like that is a strategy that would not work today. Because look at it, man. Like, anytime they have toys based off of movies that are...
They're peg warmers.
Yeah, they just sit over there. Except for a few things. Like, with the Jurassic Park movies that have come out, like, the dinosaurs definitely go, but, like, the smaller packs with, like, the humans and everything, yeah. They just sit there and eventually get discounted.
They don't want a damn Star-Lord figure with the Jurassic Park toys. They just want the dinosaurs so that they can fight and battle it out.
How learn from that? It's like, why were all those Transformers movies concentrating more on the humans? I've heard that that's kind of the problem with the new Godzilla film that came out. It's like they focus still too much on the humans and not enough on the monsters. And
Kevin, I talked to Kevin earlier this week, and he was like, oh, you got to see it now. And he was doing his best to avoid telling me that the human storyline is shit.
Yeah.
And that it's a long ass movie, but the Godzilla sequences are really, really good.
Like, yeah, I'm not going to go to the theater and see it, but when it's when it drops to own digitally or rent it or Redbox it, I'm 100% there, because a lot of people give Godzilla a lot of flack, and I get it, but I, for the most part, I thought it was enjoyable. Kong Skull Island, I liked quite a bit. I thought it was fun. Then again, I mean, I'm sure me drinking alcohol and just sitting there in the recliner definitely enhances the experience. So I look forward to Kong and Godzilla inevitably battling it out here in a couple of years. But I did see the Facebook post from Kevin. I was like, oh, it's good that it turned out okay, but I kind of figured that the human aspect would bring it down a little
bit.
Yeah,
and I never understood, and I've always felt too, that, you know, a movie about Transformers or Godzilla, I couldn't watch the Godzilla films as a kid because it was too much human stuff. All the dobbing drove me nuts as a kid. I just want to see the monsters fight. Why can't we just get a 45-minute film or a 60-minute film that's pretty much, you know, footage of what you're going to see, like the Transformers talking, conversing, kind of like a really long episode of the Transformers, yeah, where there's a little bit of human interaction, but for the most part, you see the Transformers in action, and make it a 45-minute, you know, film for theaters, and you have like many showings a day, and all you're getting is just Transformers action, because no one gives a shit about the military and the latest, you know, plucky youngster that's, you know, tag along for adolescent hijinks and referencing puberty and all this other stupid
but,
shit.
But, you know? But Bumblebee did work pretty well.
Well, because they tried, you know, they did their best to not talk down and treat kids, you know, and teenagers like, oh, morons, you know, hey, you think pod jokes are funny, don't you? Oh, look, testicles on a Transformer. Isn't that funny, kids?
Look, here's two dogs fucking.
Isn't it funny? You know, white bread parents, you know, eating pot brownies. Isn't it funny? You know, God almighty, man. It's just like,
was the pot brownies in part two?
I never saw, but I'm pretty sure it was part two. Yeah. Cause my brother saw it and was like, yeah, you hate this movie.
Mud flapping skids.
You know, even Michael Bay is still apologizing for that. It's just like, dude, you still didn't learn. You still think that, you know, you're hard on for the military makes for a great Transformers movie and the shittiest dialogue, you know? So yeah. I look like Mask of Phantasm. It's about an hour long. Arguably tells the greatest Batman story I've been ever told on the silver screen. You could argue it's even better than Batman 89 in terms of like the story it tells for the Joker, Batman, a very good, well-told love story, all within a short film. What are you looking at? You're not listening to me here.
I'm looking at the chat room, man.
Oh, okay.
You keep going on your thought. I'm honestly, because Fedmon and JSP are in here. Welcome, guys. JSP, let me know who your avatar is, because it's too small for me to make out in the chat room. Anyway, Tyler, continue on your thought.
No, I just feel like there's no excuse for films that need to be 3 hours long, and you just walk out of the film like, well, I could have taken a long shit and have been a lot more memorable than that.
Dude, and that's the thing, too. If they're going to make these movies damn near 3 hours long, why not?
And they're meant for kids.
Why not? Why not, in all seriousness? If you have it all in the can, break it up into two parts and like release part one in the spring and part two in the fall or something.
Yeah.
Like, why not just do it that way? Instead of just having one big overlong experience, maybe have it where you actually leave people wanting more, and then you can have the conclusion and it doesn't feel like it's all just crammed in there. And if people want to, I look at it like Kill Bill, you know, like after part one, I was like, all right, yeah, bring on part two. And now I can't, like, I usually watch them back to back, but I'm just saying, like, that would be a better strategy, I feel like. But now it's like, no, we got them all done. We're releasing them in three parts. And they're all 3 hours long. Isn't it great? And it's like, it can be. But here lately, it's just the run times have. You think about a lot of movies that we've talked about on Beyond Retro podcast and commentaries that we've done on this show. And some of these movies run a little over 90 minutes, maybe hour 40. And tell a complete, concise story. And it's not just dragged out and overblown. And some of these movies, like, just don't take anything from that. It's like, oh, more. And it's like, you could have done without, like, this whole entire 15-minute chunk. You could have just taken that right out.
Mm-hmm. That's why you have those bullshit director's cut Blu-ray. Pay $30 for this because it's the exclusive director's cut. What did you see in theaters? After you release like a bare-bones shitty version for $30 too at your local Walmart. Then 6 months later, you get the director's cut with more footage, $30.
Well, they're kind of starting to stray. Honestly, they're starting to stray away a lot because now it's just buy digitally, because I was in Walmart last weekend. And they have this two-pack of Get Out and Us, the Jordan Peele movies, because Us is about to come out on Blu-ray here in a few weeks. But you can buy it now digitally. And it had a thing. It's like the Get Out Blu-ray, but then it's got the digital download code for Us. It's like, watch Us early and blah, blah, blah. So physical copies of things, there's always going to be a market for it, because look at vinyl records, cassettes are kind of making a comeback. Look at VHS, people still. So there's always going to be that market, but it's definitely here very, very soon. And you can already see it when you go into Walmart. They've already just like
downsized a lot of it.
Yeah, they've put it into just here's one aisle. And as depressing as it is for you and I especially, but also people that listen to the show, we like doing that. You know, we are that generation of people that we liked going into a video store and walking around and picking stuff up and looking at. We like having just physical things that we can touch.
Yeah.
And that's
seeing it on your shelf as part of your collection, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice for convenience if I'm not at home. I'm on, you know, out somewhere or taking a break or something like that.
Yeah.
You have it accessible on your iPad or iPhone or whatever device you got. But to be at home and actually put in a hard copy of something, it feels different than just watching it on a mobile device of some kind.
And not to mention, too, with the digital age, it gets kind of fucky in the sense that you could buy something and there could be rights and whatever, and it gets pulled and it might not be available for you to watch anymore, even after you've purchased it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a scary thing to think about. Like, with that, it's like you own it, but do you really own it? Like, with that, like, I own all those movies. They're there on my shelf.
Yeah.
And I guess I say that too because Samsung announced that they're ceasing production on Blu-ray players. So yeah.
Wow.
And the other part of it, too, is, like, some people don't have good internet connections. Joe Amato, shout out to you, bud.
Like, still uses dial-up.
Some people don't have good internet connections. So if you take that away from them of being able to just put a disc in and just watch the movie, then you're going to run into a lot of issues. Because not everyone can just sit and watch Netflix and it be, like, crystal clear HD. Yeah. So I guess if we're going to do this, America and world, let's make sure that everyone's got like a good high speed connection.
Or make it as accessible as it should be. Like, everyone has access to it.
You know,
not something that's.
And And get rid of the data caps. I hate that shit. I really do. I really do. Because Google announced they're going to have a video game console, but it's mostly just going to be like streaming games, like how you do Netflix, but it's like video games more or less.
Yeah, I heard about that.
65 hours. If you use this thing for 65 hours, it will suck up 1 terabyte of data. And I'm like, are you serious? Like I think that's the cap that most Comcast customers have. With the ISP that I have, I only have 500, and I'm paying way too much than I need to. So I'm hoping like Comcast will, hey Comcast, come out this way. I want your internet. It's a little bit better and it's cheaper. But who does that appeal to? Because 1 terabyte, like, good God, man, like, people have caps. I don't, they're going to have to think about that. Otherwise, it's just sort of dead in the water, or it's just going to have a niche appeal. It'll go the way of like the 3DO and the TurboGrafx 16 and all those other consoles that weren't a Genesis or a Super Nintendo. Anyway, the next thing I wanted to run across, I say really quick, but we'll probably talk about it for a little while, was our attempt at the San Diego Comic-Con NECA exclusives. Four pack that has 1990 Turtles, Shredder, Splinter, and 2 Foot Soldiers. A lot of traffic going through there. Checkout button didn't work for a lot of people. I looked at some other methods in the comments on Instagram, and they're like, do this. And I tried those methods yesterday because they did it for 3 days. Yesterday was the final day to do it, and no dice. I did get a John Kreese, so that was cool. And you got the bundle of Batman versus Predator and Superman
Alien. Yep.
Yeah. If our disappointment on our faces is not enough to tell you, we kind of hope that it's going to go the way that they did the last time, because the Turtles were con exclusives and then were later released at GameStop via their website and in store. So hopefully that will be the case with this. I kind of hope too, because honestly, I would probably buy a lot of Foot Soldiers.
Yeah.
I would buy more than two, definitely. I would have like 4 or 5.
Yeah, that'd be an ideal army builder from NECA. Like, yeah, to be able to buy a bunch of those. So I would really hope that they clearly, obviously, they were overwhelmed, because it was the first item that would sell out, I'm sure, every day. Was that 4-pack. So I think for them to not acknowledge the incredible demand for that 4-pack, you know, and I'm sure it's going to piss off people who buy it right now. But, you know, I don't know how much they asked for them last year, but it was like $120 for all 4 Turtles through GameStop or NECA store if you wanted all 4. And it's kind of what they're asking for this 4-pack. Well, if you're one of those guys who decides to go, I got to have it right now and I'll pay $300 for it, you know, well, then, you know.
It's a gamble, because they might not do that like they did for
them. Yeah, we may get screwed and we just have to buy the quarter scale Shredder and the Foot Soldier, and that's it, you know. But I just don't see NECA dismissing the demand.
Yeah.
I mean, because fortunately for them, everything they sold is sold out. Everything. All 3 days, everything they put up is gone.
I was thinking about throwing out some feelers on Facebook, or maybe posting in the Fans of Power group. Just like, hey, is anyone going to San Diego Comic-Con? Can you pick me up this turtle set?
Yeah, it's like, you know, for free.
No, I'd be like, let me know that you're going, when you have it in hand or whatever, like, message me. I'll PayPal you the money, send you some extra for going out of your way.
Yeah, that would be awesome, you know, because I'd gladly do it too. But here's hoping probably sometime as the summer winds down and the, you know, school's back in session and so forth, that they'll make an announcement. Hey, you missed out. We're going to release them again finally in February. And, you know, you'll have your chance through GameStop or NECAstore.com or something like that. So we're hopeful for it, you know. But for anybody who listened to this and did get it, I commend you and congratulations for getting such a high highly regarded commodity as that four pack was, because it clearly was like the crown jewel of what NECA was selling this year.
Yeah. Give us your name and address too, by the way. We'll see you in 4 to 8 weeks. Come by and steal your collection. What? I think we should ask Judith Hogue when we meet her if she's been approached about using her likeness to make an April O'Neil figure. Or if she's even aware of it.
Yeah. I would like to think, because I figure like next year I could see them do like a Casey and Raph in a trench coat 2-pack.
Ugh.
And then I feel like you'd have to include an April O'Neil with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think. Oh man, yeah. So there's so many possibilities. Like, or they want to go all four, throw in a top two, and then you'd have all the primary characters from the film. And I would, you know, of course we'd get screwed out of buying that again. But yeah, it'd be curious to know if you know, there's talks, and I'm sure she's like, really can't talk about that right now. Like, aha, you know. So
I want a Danny figure.
Yeah. Wearing the Sid Vicious shirt.
Yeah. God. I'm still waiting on that that mini Turtles arcade cabinet. It turns out dude made the tracking number, but I guess it hasn't entirely shipped yet. But that guy's got a lot on his plate, but I can't wait to get those in.
All right. Let's get this episode underway here. People waiting long enough here.
Yeah, link down below so you guys can actually click on that and watch along with us this time. I didn't have any ads when I gave it a shot, so apologies if you do. I don't know if it's scattered about or whatever. That's the chance that you take with Daily Motion. Anyway, Tyler, without any further ado, give us a countdown. We'll get it going.
3, 2, 1, action. I'm watching this in glorious Blu-ray here. Yeah, if anyone listening to this has not purchased this series on Blu-ray, it's a lot cheaper on Amazon right now because you don't have the little mini pop vinyl bullshit.
So yeah, it's $70. I should have waited. I should have waited to get the. I had actually thought about purchasing that set and just giving you my old one because you like the book packaging.
But and now I've got this the actual like cases. Yeah. There's no book or anything like that. So it was. Well worth the wait, and boy, does it look good on Blu-ray.
JSP says that he's watching on Vudu. That's actually what I'm doing, because where I redeem the digital code from the Blu-ray.
Yeah, I did that too, so I can watch them, you know, in various places, like taking a break at work or while I'm driving at work, listening to Batman episodes. It's been quite nice.
And you can tell from the intro just how much work they did into cleaning it up, because
it looks so good.
It really, really, really does.
Now, obviously, as you're watching this, we're doing an episode from the kind of revamp edition, which I consider it like season 4.
They've started calling it like volume 4.
Yeah, I just look at it as, you know, because it felt like, you know, season 1 had certain episodes, season 2 did, season 3, and then when this came along and they you know, remodeled everybody from their looks and from their body type to their appearance and everything. And I wasn't at all happy with when they did this. I hated Batman's look. I didn't like the breakaway from the yellow and black emblem on his chest. I hated Joker didn't have the sort of colorful features. I thought, oh my God, this is ugly as hell. I hated it. There wasn't anybody other than Two-Face. I thought the Two-Face looked fine. But other than that, I wasn't happy. Like, even with Scarecrow, I was like, but I like the old Scarecrow. I didn't think it looked bad at all.
But now you've come around.
Oh, as I got a little bit older, I really, like, God, man, all this looks great. Like, I have a great affinity for everybody's design. Like, there's not one bad design in the whole lot of all these characters. I mean, some of you could say are improvements. But I still say, like, the Scarecrow could argue, like, I picked that one because I really wanted to get Nathan's take on it, because it's a take on the character, like, because they recast the voice with Jeffrey Combs, they give him a brand new look. As Bruce Timm described, it's kind of like a Western preacher with a leather face mask. Like, imagine seeing that in a Batman movie, like a Western preacher with a walking stick and this kind of like corpse mask and a hangman's noose around your neck, like that is about as twisted version of Scarecrow as you possibly could get in a children's show. And I really grew to appreciate all the designs in this show. It's very polished. It's very slick looking, and some of the characters are a little bit muted, but it looks great though in comparison to the first three. I'm gonna call them seasons. I don't care what they are technically. That's what I'm gonna call them. But
already at the beginning, you're like, well, what the hell is going on? If you're coming into this just like clean and you don't know who the villain of the week is. And you just see, you're just like, wow, this guy is just ready to just throw himself off the building.
Also, like when I would see these, though, like if I hadn't seen the commercial for it, the title,
the title usually gives it away. Yeah.
Sometimes, but then the episodes like Shadow of the Bat, you think, okay, Batgirl, but you have no idea Two-Face is going to be, oh, here we are.
Yeah.
I love the music.
And that's a good shot, too. You just see like his eye and the shadow work.
Yeah. And you see part of the noose, like he's kept in shadow and very ghostly. And God, this is like something right out of a movie. And this was something I just didn't fully appreciate as a kid. A lot of the more adult storylines, because there were some episodes that were not action based. They were more story driven or character driven. And I thought the episode Vendetta as a kid was like, I want to see Killer Croc. Where's Killer Croc at? Watching this adult, I'm like, God, this is a great episode. And this is another example. Like, it has action, but there's a lot of character-driven moments. Like when Bruce is infected or is exposed to the new fear toxin, and Robin, you know, has to, you know, really step up and put Batman in his place. Like, that's a great character-driven storyline between these two. And I absolutely love Tim Drake in this in Batman. Like I love his voice. I like his portrayal. Like he's a kid, but they don't treat him as like an obnoxious like brat kid. Like he's a fun kid. Like this is, if you're gonna go with a much more youthful Robin, they couldn't have done a more perfect job with this rendition of Robin, and then upgrading Dick Grayson to Nightwing.
Well, it just shows the natural evolution of things. Like that's the direction that it needed to go.
Yeah, and I like that, and I wish we had gotten more of it. Like, I mean, you see a little bit more in the Superman series and then, of course, in Justice League. But I wish we had gotten, you know, more of this. And, of course, you can't argue with the amount of Batman cartoons we've gotten under the watch of Paul Dini and Bruce Timm and Alan Burnett and the rest of that gang with Justice League and Superman. Because there'd be some crossovers there too, but I wish we'd get more of this.
I probably would have grabbed her and kissed her too.
Yeah, and all this feels like this could work in a movie. Everything you're seeing right here, you're trying to work. All these people are just kind of doing these very brazen acts and just stuff that's clearly out of the ordinary. And it's just
all everyone give that phone number a call. It's not going to work because 555. But
Nathan tried it and Tony Robbins didn't pick up, which I kind of figured this character's kind of modeled enough like a Tony Robbins, like a motivational speaker kind of guy.
Or like Patrick Swayze and Donnie Darko as well, and maybe yeah. Tom Cruise and Magnolia.
Yeah, yeah, respect my penis. Yeah, I'm quoting the spoof that Ben Stiller did on Tom Cruise, which is funny as hell. But I like this, like using, you know, this kind of motivational speaker to kind of establish this kind of, I won't say cult, but, you know, tricking people with low self-esteem to buy into this and be exposed to this gas. And, you know, obviously it's just part of the bad plan. But I love the colors in this, like the sky is red, adds like a great horror effect to it, especially in a Scarecrow episode like this.
Thoughts on Bruce with the mustache?
I mean, he's done this before, wearing like in Shadow of the Bat, where he's dressed up as Matches Malone, wearing a bit of mustache. Here's a Scarecrow creeping up. Ah, so cool. Even then, you still don't see all of his face until God, it's awesome. And then the sequence here, like with giant alligators in this. They're like, all this would have worked so great in a live action film. Like the clouds across the moonlit sky. I mean, it's very, very, I mean, this really just plays up the horror aspects in this. It really does. And of course, I'm a sucker for like well done man versus animal sequences. Like right there, like seeing Batman take on giant alligators. Here he is.
God, I kind of like too how they added like an echo in a way to his voice.
Yeah, I do too. Like his look kind of makes you think of Kane, you know, like from Poltergeist 2 and 3. You know, that kind of, you know, that Western preacher feel. And I just think, God, this, it's so outside the box for the Scarecrow, but God, it works so well. It's, I mean, I whoever came up with that initial design, I mean, I'm so glad they did, because it just looks so menacing. I mean, I love the classic traditional Scarecrow that looks like a Scarecrow, but this is something special. And this is a sequence, like, to see this in a movie. And I like this, like, I like his line, "Welcome to the food chain." Like, so, and then blood boiling and the music. Oh, so cool. He looks so tall, too, the Scarecrow does right there. And if anybody's going to emerge from a fight with two giant alligators, it's going to be Batman. Kind of makes you wonder, what did he do to draw blood with those giant beasts? Just wonderful sequences that we're seeing so far here. That's the beauty of the show, too, is that we see so much in so little time. And a lot, I mean, sometimes you feel like, you know, we could have been given more, but obviously, that, you know, you have so much time to tell a story. But a lot of these episodes, the writers on this show, like, they could tell you a really, really good story in a very short amount of time. And you don't feel like you were shortchanged at all here. And this obviously kind of building up the foreshadowing tension between Batman and Robin here, like Batman admitting that he was exposed to it. Like, thinking, okay, he says he can handle it, and clearly not. Which I think that's another thing to see in the movie, like Batman, you know, flirting with the edge, like contemplating killing people, flying too close to the to the end, and taking Robin along for the ride and expecting him to just go along with it until that fear toxin wears off. I mean, it's some great character stuff going on in this episode here.
Yeah, I had to get rid of the dogs because they wouldn't shut up.
I picture Nathan's like picking them. Get out!
I wish. Anyway, it is cool because you have Robin starting to like realize, but also like, hey, you're right. No, I got it. I can handle it. And that's kind of like the perfect, I would see him, I would see Bruce being that way regardless, because he always thinks that
he doesn't admit weakness. He's above that. And I could see, like, to see this in a Matt Reeves, you know, it's not really important to me to see Robin, but I think it'd be kind of curious to see how they would do Robin. But I just feel like it's I think Robin in a live action film is going to be hard to do, because I feel like people are going to be more inclined to make him, you know, someone who just makes references to social media and shit like that, as opposed to making him, you know, the boy wonder. You know, there's a reason why he should be Batman psychic. You know, someone you need to take seriously, who knows what he's doing, who's skilled, who's dealt with grief and loss, but wants to make a difference like Batman. Like this, Tim Drake and Dick Grayson in this entire run, I mean, were taken care of and portrayed with such care and charisma, and you enjoyed them. Even some of the lighthearted moments, you don't feel like, oh, it's just so dorky and corny. Like, it's wonderful. And this is what I would want to see in a new Batman series. Like, I feel like the new Batman film that comes out, it needs to be a solo Batman film. Give us Robin in the sequel. And then the third one, like, they're, you know, you see them as a complete team. But it's not a must for me. Like, I'm fine with, you know, another series of Batman solo films.
But it would be nice to actually have Robin in there at some point, because we got it in Forever and Batman and Robin, but like a good Robin.
And it's not like it was Chris O'Donnell's fault. It's just wasn't. I mean, at the time I thought it was okay, but you know, watching it now, it's not fun to watch. He's got maybe a couple of good moments in Batman Forever, overall.
I just want to, this scene right here, Batman has thrown him off, and now he's just like cutting in a little bit, and he clearly doesn't care. And that's kind of, this is when you know the shit is serious.
Yeah. And that's why I just think it's so great that these guys were allowed to make these kind of stories that push the envelope in terms of, like, you know, today they've just pussified, you know, children's animation, because it just felt like, it's you can't show that. It's like, well, that's because you're an asshole and you're trying to decide the fate of all kids. You know, we all watch this stuff, and why they feel like superhero cartoons nowadays have to be, you know, covered in a thick coat of bubblegum and cotton candy, I'll never understand it. I'll never understand the logic behind that when Batman, the animated series, was such the juggernaut of a success that it was, and so beloved along with Superman and Justice League and Batman Beyond, that it has its moments that are more lighthearted than others, but overall the tone is taken seriously. There's guns in the show. You know, people are making impact with punches and kicks and fighting. Yeah. And you're not hearing stories in the media of a kid watched The Laughing Fish. He tried to turn his goldfish into Joker fish. Oh, God, we got to cancel the show. You know, you don't hear shit like that.
Well, at the same time, too, maybe that did happen and got reported but didn't make national news, because now we live in the time of instant. You can record anything, anybody, anywhere, put it on the internet. So it's cool. But this part is funny. Robin's got this. Batman captured. He's like, I was out of control. You just turn me loose.
And this moment okay. here.
Yeah.
And this is a testament to the dial. I love this. When Tim buys this and walks, I was like, it's so good.
I expressed that line right there. Don't worry. You'll be the boss on this one. You almost had me.
I love that line. That makes Tim Drake a badass, in my opinion.
Well, what do you think he was about to say before they like broke that line of speech? Was he going to call him like a little shit, a bastard? Because his parents are dead.
It's at that point, it's hard to say what Batman would not have censored. And having the climax on a train, you know, that's classic. It's classic, you know, storytelling. It makes for a great action sequence for the finale to be on a train, trying to set up Gotham for its own apocalypse. And Robin going on his own here to take on Scarecrow, just like that. Like, and you don't feel like that's silly or out of place. Like, you could buy that Tim Drake is going to go in here and do his best to kick everyone's ass and save the day. And that's treating these characters with dignity, not dumbing them down because, always he's a kid, so we have to make him stupid and obnoxious and whiny and bratty. Like, I like with Scarecrow's face, like, they put so much shadow in that you can't see exactly what he's wearing. It's almost like, he's probably wearing, like, it looks like a dead man's face.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just, I don't know if it's just what they've done with the Blu-ray, but the sound in here is just, I'm noticing more. I don't know.
They gave a lot of clarity to the visual and the audio to this show. Now I like how they would animate people running in the show. Like, they had a lot of intensity to a lot of the actions in here.
Honestly, the scariest thing in this episode, and it was probably its intention, was just how scary Batman can be if he's not
in control.
In control.
Yeah. That's why I said, like, that would be an interesting thing to see in a movie.
And I like this scene. He just tosses one dude out of the train. He's going to toss this guy out too, but they do make it a point to show the guy like kind of like lifting up, like, oh, okay, he's not dead.
Yeah.
I would probably just shit my pants and try to run away. honestly.
It'd be all gooky.
Yeah. I think that's the balance that you gotta find with kids' cartoons. Like, it's all right for it to be bubblegummy and stuff too, but also kind of ground it a little bit and show kids that, hey, there are stakes and the world's not perfect.
Yeah, and plus, I was always drawn to action cartoons. Like, I love my Looney. Oh, I love this.
Yeah, and this is what this is the scariest part of the episode. Like, Batman is willing to just choke him, like, kill him.
Yeah, with his bare hands. Like, not throw him, but he's going to just strangle him to death right there. Like, it's a fun visual. And to know that the boy is the one that has to talk him down.
And I like this part, too, where he breaks the chain. He's like, ah, okay, yeah, that kind of hurt a little bit.
Yeah. Which, he's not Batman. Like, he would sell the pain.
And Elbow and Robin. Like, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And I love it.
It's kind of funny that the antidote is in an inhaler.
Yeah.
Do you ever have an inhaler?
No. My cousin Winston had asthma. And, he would have to use, like, a breathing.
And I like how I can't say that word, and it just sounds weird when I say it, because when it came out, it didn't sound right to me.
What, inhaler?
But, yeah. But I had one when I was a kid. Cause really? I had asthma. I didn't know that. It wasn't as severe, but it was definitely, like, shortness of breath. If it was really humid outside, I would struggle to kind of, like, catch a breath.
Well, I'm glad it's no longer an issue with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's my granny has asthma, and I know it's not fun. So, for those out there who are dealing with
I was just going to say, explosions look great on Blu-ray from this show.
Everything on here looks great. I mean, and plus, all this stuff looked. I mean, they really add a lot of a cinematic feel to a lot of these episodes, and because they said their intention was to tell, like, many movies almost.
And see, there's your lesson. A little fear is a good thing.
Yeah.
And that goes a lot of ways. Like, you kind of need to have that.
Yeah, it makes you cautious. I mean, there's been a lot of...
Fight or flight, man. Fight or flight.
Yeah. They drew always such a... drew like a. That's the kind of Gotham City I want to see in a movie, too. That noir-looking Gotham City. I mean, the best we've gotten is the one that Anton First did with... Batman 89, but the one these guys did, like, I just love that, their style of Gotham. Like, I want to see that on the big screen. I want to actually see a set, though, not no bullshit, CGI at all and green screen background. Like, come on, man, put some time and devotion into it. If you're gonna do a Batman movie, do it right. Or they trying to go the shit route already, and where did it get you? Nowhere.
They can build like half of it and then green screen the rest.
Well, just give me something for the actors to actually feel like to interact with part of Gotham City, not just,
Well, I think they'll do that. They're not going to
pull a 300 where everything's in front of green screen or Star Wars prequels.
Star Wars prequels is where I was going with that. 300 worked for what the aesthetic and how that was set up. That worked fine with that. But Star Wars was kind of jarring. Oh. Everything was just so clean.
Oh, shit.
JSP asked, have you guys gotten the Batman animated series book?
I came across it and looked at it several times, but I, at the time, I didn't have the extra money to buy it, but it's a wonderful book. I've looked at it a few times, and it's an awesome book. I wish I had it.
Febmon asked me, arcade this weekend? You know what? Maybe. Joe hasn't really been bugging me about it as much. So maybe I will. have some games in mind. I need to get the Genesis situation figured out so I can actually, like, stream those.
You ought to play this on Super Nintendo.
Yeah. Play that hard game. Yeah.
That was a fun game. I had a blast playing that game. It was tough, but it was fun, though.
Yeah. I honestly, I haven't really played that game as much because it was that weird period in my life where... it was starting. I was starting to make that transition from collecting
boyhood to manhood.
Yeah, from collecting figures and watching animated shows to sports. Like, you know, once the baseball bug bit me, I was starting lineups and all that stuff. That's not.
Hell, you probably would have picked on me then, you know, because I didn't get really as much as I like playing NBA Jam. I didn't get into watching sports till seventh grade, though, so or at least basketball. So I'm still watching this stuff and buying toys and reading comic books. So
I wouldn't think so, but I don't know. Me then is different than me now.
Yeah, you back then, you'd probably been just as bad as any of the prep kids. They're making fun of me because I don't have Nikes. You're making fun of me.
No. I never. Honestly, the only kids I really remember making fun of when I was young, and even though it's still mean, I'm not condoning this, and it's the disclaimer here, was honestly, those kids got picked on were the ones that couldn't help their situation. The ones that always were just like dirty all the time or got lice all the time. Like, those were the ones, I guess, I contributed to making fun of, which is shitty in its own right, because I'm sure that their home life was just terrible. But when you're a kid, you don't process that stuff.
Not necessarily. Yeah. I had a better understanding of some of the kids that, you know, clearly probably didn't have, like, the best home life, you know.
I didn't, like, openly, like, make fun of them. Like, I would just, like, maybe to one friend or something. I wouldn't like walk by and be like, ha ha. No, I never.
Or something like that.
No. Yeah. I never did that at all. Goes to every other haunted house to unmask the corrupt banker. Yep. That's me. Me and Jasper. Jasper is my Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
I could see.
Well, at least they're not doing the My Little Pony jokes or something like that. So I guess better Scooby-Doo references than like, oh yes, those My Little Ponies that aren't mine. Huh, isn't that funny?
Is what it is. Look, but look at the beefcake stuff. Yeah, that shelf turned out pretty good. I got a lot of decent stuff on there.
You do, man.
It's a shame that, like, I can't take, like, these display cases and have them over there because the space isn't big enough. Because that would make a good visual, but oh well.
It's just all around me. It's a sample.
Yeah. All right, man.
Is there any other questions before we wrap things up, guys? Anything else you guys
Feel free to toss any other questions out to us while we figure out if there's anything else that we missed. Tyler, you got any recommendations, any artists, any TV shows or episodes of things you need to check out that you've watched this week?
I pretty much just, ever since we saw Batman 89 in the theater, like, I've just been on this massive Batman kick. Like,
you know what? I can always tell,
yeah,
like, what pattern you're in, because you always change your cover photo on Facebook.
I think most people could probably tell, too. Like, if I'm posting a lot of G.I. Joe, he must be watching a lot of G.I. Joe. Or
right.
Spider-Man, he's reading Spider-Man comics or something. And that's just what I do. That's, you know, I do it because that's my spirit at the moment. And, you know, throw out to see if maybe it piques other people's interest and get them into it or whatever. But yeah. No, I really can't say I have too many recommendations right now. Not just because I've just been on a big Batman kick. So I'd say Joker's Millions. That was I rewatched that again, I think, like the second or third time in the last month. Which was a fun episode. I thrown this one out in mad love because I really liked the confrontation with Batman and Joker at the end of that episode. Like, I almost felt like if I throw this out, like, I've been harping Nathan, like, I'm sick and tired of all this Harley Quinn bullshit. But I love Harley Quinn in this context. I love her in the animated series. Anything else is just like, oh, like, I love Harley Quinn. But I hadn't read a damn comic book. Sure as hell didn't watch the cartoon. They just like it because it's popular. And that's it.
And that's always the go to at a convention. It's like, let's see how many Harley Quinns there are. And ladies, like, good on you for some of you for squeezing into that outfit, but I'll leave it at that. Anyway, I'm trying to think of some recommendations. I was so kind of put off by how Game of Thrones ended that I started watching Breaking Bad just to see if it's as fantastic and mind-blowing as everyone says that it is. It's okay so far. There's not anything like negative to say about it, but it's, yeah. I'm just getting into it. I'm like, yeah, okay. Like it's fine. But I like Bryan Cranston anyway. Like I think he's a fantastic actor. I wish
I don't mind him at all.
I wish he would venture out and do some more stuff theatrically. Maybe even
he'd make a good Two-Face.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, yeah.
I can see him. If we can't have the beloved Billy Dee, which I still want to see in some form or another.
I mean, I would too, but at this point, he's up there in age. I don't think it would work out.
I just feel like, you know, if we can't get him, then no, Bryan Cranston, he'd be an interesting Two-Face. I think he looks like a Harvey Dent. No, I could see him doing a kind of a menacing version of that. Who's not whining and bitching about Rachel the whole time?
No, Rachel.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, Rachel.
Yeah, I get it. You know, she died. You wanted her. Let's move on. So, I mean, you watch this version of Two-Face, the animation, which by far is the best. Like, to this day, nothing has ever topped Richard Mall's portrayal as Two-Face. Like, the look with the blue face and the exaggerated mouth and the white hair. It's the best. It is of anything I've ever seen in the comic books or movies or whatever, like, that is by far the best interpretation Two-Face I've ever seen in my life. That was actually what made me interested in Two-Face as a kid when I saw this version of it. Like, I was intrigued to see the episode when I finally saw it. I'm like, God, this was awesome. It looks amazing. And you put a Tommy gun in his hand, it doesn't get any better than that. So that's why I'm like, if we get Two-Face, it needs to be, you know, something like that. Black and white and a very distorted, you know, like, I just love that their version of that. God, it's so cool.
Oh. And we got to hear him do the voice in person.
Yeah. Yeah, to meet him in person, tell him, that's, I was like, I don't talk about Night Court or anything. I'll talk about Two-Face. And he just jumped right into his Two-Face voice right in front of me. Oh, man. Unbelievable. You know, it was so surreal for him to do that. And didn't ask him to do it. He just did it. You know, God.
That'll be another $50, kid. Come on, cough it up.
I'd have paid it at that point. You know, but yeah, great memory. But that is our commentary on Never Fear. And I don't know what we've got. Maybe more Batman next week. You know, maybe I'll still be on this Batman kick and we'll do
something.
Yeah.
Something. It's card subject to change.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how it is with us all the time. You know,
as far as I know, I don't have to work next Saturday. That could also change. But according to my job, first shift will be working the overtime shift next Saturday. And then the following Saturday, I will be working it. But all that can change. They could cancel everything, or I could work next week. Who knows? They don't know.
We just have to play it by ear, which is fine.
But, yeah, we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll get around to G.I. Joe movie. I know we've dabbled at the idea of doing a commentary for Encino Man.
Yeah, that's another one.
That I guess we would just kind of throw under the Beyond Retro banner. At a point now, I'm like, man, maybe we should sort of should it still be two separate things? Do we make it like more of a just all encompassing? I don't know.
I think to me it's all encompassing. I mean, we just, you know, Beyond Retro, I think it's just kind of it's a nice brand, but it's just kind of a dead idea. You know, you know, it's been so much fun doing these cartoon commentaries. And I mean, honestly, when we do it Beyond Retro, what we did Cobra Kai season 2 was like the last thing we did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of, I mean, with so many people are out there doing their discussions on the movies that we like, you know, it's like there's not enough part of the pie to share for us. So it's just like, well, focus on what no one else is doing. No one else is doing these commentaries for these kind of, I mean, sure, there are a few fan commentaries for some of these cartoons, but not like what we're doing.
Yeah, we'll have to, I don't know, we'll talk.
Well, I guess since we brought it up, it would really have, permitting Nathan has got flexibility, Mask of the Phantasm, the G.I. Joe movie.
Encino Man.
Or Encino Man. It'll be one of those three next week. We'll just go ahead and say that right now. So that way, if you enjoy any of those three, we expect one of those three.
Prepare your butts.
Yeah. Or hold on to your butts. There you go. Jurassic Park reference.
Just touch your butt.
And just wait for it.
See, that would have been the perfect time for the fart sound effect.
Yeah, you should have told me about that.
So that just came up on a whim. Anyway, we hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you're new to the channel, make sure you hit subscribe, like this video, comment down below, and check out all the stuff, all the links down below. Download us on MP3. Put us on your iTunes, your mobile devices, your iPods, if people still use those. Tyler, you still use an iPod, right? Or are you all on the phone now?
Pretty much phone. I do have an old iPod that I use on occasion, but it's so actually, old, beat up.
Boom! Actually, I got my iPod right here. I've had this thing since 2007. It still works.
I miss using those because they were very handy. And they were small too.
I just I'll charge it up, plug the auxiliary port, and then just listen to music in the car. It's a good thing. Check out Fans of Power, the He-Man and the Master Universe podcast, hosted by Tyler Baker, Joe Amato, and myself. That's every Sunday. Well, almost every Sunday. Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern. Buy Joe's t-shirts. Hit him up for a custom like I did. I have a
make
picture
that prominent tomorrow night there.
Well, I'll just share the picture. I'll do the screen share on Fans of Power. That way people can see what Joe did for me. It'd be the easiest way instead of me trying to work the camera up there. I don't want to mess with it either because I am missing that top back piece that really keeps it clamped.
Yeah.
Down. And now I'm rambling because I was did I miss anything in the description that I always do?
You covered everything, dude.
Yeah. Like this video and leave a comment down below. I know I already said that, but let us know your thoughts on Batman Animated Series. Did you like the redesigns? Were you not a fan? Because it could go either way. Some people still might not like them. And some people may have come around like Tyler did. I was always kind of indifferent to it. And it was never really too jarring for me. I mean, slightly. I'm like, yeah, they look different, but if the story's good and told well, then that's easy to forget.
Yeah, but for me, it was less I can't look at the Joker. He's not colorful anymore. It sucks. I can't watch this. So it definitely kept me from enjoying the stories until I got older. So,
well, with that said, next week, Phantasm, Mask of Phantasm, not the horror film Phantasm with Tall Man, G.I. Joe movie, or Encino Man. One of those three, or maybe none at all. We'll see how it goes. Tyler made the guarantee, but we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, guarantees are made to be broken on this podcast.
Exactly. Until then, we will see you in the future to talk about the past. Take care, everybody.
Later.